Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to everybody, and shout out to Ice Cube. Week 38 of 50, a less angry pawn. The session plus scoreboard check. It's 9:30 p.m.-ish on Sunday, September 26th. I've been working hard. I've been sleeping little. I had a golf meetup on this day. I won some money on that, but I also lost more money on sports in the NFL, neutral EV wagering. Anyways, I'm at Ocean's 11, I'm on fumes, and I'm buzzed, and I got sunglasses on, because it is bright as fuck in there, and I'm ready to earn, hopefully not from my patrons, who are still going strong on this day. As mentioned, there was a golf meetup, so hopefully I won't earn from the two that are left, Dunder and Dr. David Neymark. But also, if they die, they die. Just kidding. I don't want them to die. Either of them. But also, I need to get better at playing poker against people who support my podcast. And I got to get better at playing against friends. I just do. I used to be good at it back in the day. And the longer you're in the game, the less you want to battle friends. I don't know. The game is 2-5. So that means it's going to be 2-5-10 sooner than later. I'm basically the stakes doubler, and I have been since 2008. I just get the straddle on, I think, close enough to 100% of the time to call it 100% of the time. Okay, so I start this one out. It's just 2-5 for now, and I fold for a little bit, and then I go to $20 with ace-5 of diamonds after a limp. So I go to the 4X. Someone limps. And I haven't played a hand yet. I got ace, five of diamonds. It's a hand everyone loves. And I go to 4X, and we go four ways to the flop. Yup. That's okay. So, the second hand we play is our worst play almost. And I am the straddle. This is how you get the straddle on. You do it first. You don't sit down and demand everyone put it on. That's not going to work. You sit down and you start doing it. And then some kindred spirit will also start doing it, inevitably. Otherwise, get the fuck out of there. You're with a bunch of grinders. But there's always usually one other person with a pulse at the table, and they will straddle after they see you straddle. And then the person winning, you can always ask the person luck boxing it to straddle. And soon you'll have a straddle culture. And then you'll say, does everyone want to do it for a round? And it's not, I mean, it is a hustle, but it's also like in everyone's best interest, because playing with two blinds is, it's depressing. So anyways, it's my worst play almost. I'm the straddle and two short stacks limp, the cutoff and the big blind. So I go to $50 more with king queen offsuit. That's fine. So that's 6X out of position against the cutoff limper and in the middle between the big blind, who you're going to hear about. His name is Ned. And so the cutoff limp late, that's because that's what you get in red chip poker. And then, you know, Ned put in $5 more from the big blind and on the straddle with king queen offsuit. And the only hand I played was the ace five of diamonds, which Cindy told you what I flopped on that one. And I go to 50 more. I like this so far. And the cutoff, the limper in the cutoff folded, but Ned called. And who's Ned? Ned's someone that made an appearance in this podcast, I believe in season 1, perhaps in season 2. It's Nervous Energy Dude, Ned. So just has real, and it's nothing to make fun of, but just has massive amounts of nervous energy. And doesn't mean he's a bad person at all. No, it just means he has a lot of nervous energy. Okay, and so I have king-queen offsuit, and I'm in position against Ned. the big blind. And the flop comes queen 4-2 with two spades. And Ned leads $80 into the... The good thing about Ned is he plays fast. So he leads $80 right away. I got top pair, second best kicker. I'm going to be calling here. Okay. And then the turn is an offsuit ace. And now Ned leads $75. Okay. Not my favorite card, but I still am going to call here against Ned. And then the river is an offsuit six. It's a weird card for him to lead. And he the ace was. And now he bets 75 again. And I call, and Ned has ace nine of spades. So it's unfortunate that, you know, I flopped a good hand and he turned the hidden. You know, he didn't hit his draw, but he hit his ace. And he did play it pretty well. I got to give Ned credit. He got max value. He took me to value town. Thanks for the ride, Ned. Okay. Now, the next note. Johnny Chan limps under the gun. And who's Johnny Chan? It's a guy that wears camouflage, mask, sunglasses, and he kind of looks like Johnny Chan, except you can't really see what he looks like, and he plays extremely tight. And I've paid him off a couple times, and I've had to make big folds against him a bunch of times. And anyways, I have queen 10 offsuit. He limped under the gun. This is red chip poker on a Sunday night. A lot of times a limp under the gun just means a bad hand, not with Johnny Chan, because I wrote in my phone, in my notes, in all caps, I wrote, I will never raise. And so that means you're not fooling me with your under the gun limp. So I over limp and I flop. Okay, well, at least I didn't fall for Johnny Chan's trap, that limp under the gun. And then after this, I look over at my friend, Dr. David Neymark, who's in my game. And he's wearing a lightweight hoodie from Poker Rags. And Cindy, his hoodie on the left chest, it has your face on it. You don't mind us making a profit off your likeness, do you? You don't? Cool. Well, my friend, you've met him. He came over here, Dr. David Neymark. And he's in my game, and he's wearing a it looks so comfortable, this lightweight hoodie from Poker Rags, and it has your face on it. And guess what it says below your beautiful young face? Precisely. Okay. The next hand that we play, we call $25 on the button with King 9 of Diamonds. And it's five ways. And the reason we opted to flat instead of three bet is because the opener had a very strong range, which means we're dominated here a ton. But, and so why are you playing a dominated hand? Because it's suited. And in five-way pots, you usually have to make more than one pair, or you often have to make more than one pair to win. So it doesn't matter if you're dominated as much. There's not as much reverse implied odds. If it's just heads up and, you know, Johnny Chan opens under the gun, you don't even need to call with King 9 suited if you're not deep, right? But five ways, it's a better hand, if that makes sense. And you gotta make more than one pair to win, so these suited hands are fine. But I flopped less than one pair with my King 9 of Diamonds. I flopped. Thank you, Cindy. You're on point today. And again, on behalf of everyone at Poker Hags, thank you for letting us use your likeness for profit. Okay. So now this old school dealer, who's not that old somehow, gets in the box. And this guy and I have a great rapport. We've had, you know, our moments over the years, but he's a really funny dude. He's a Middle Eastern, and we go way back, right? And he's talking about bomb pots, and I said, whoa, man, you're scaring everyone at the table talking about bombs. Just some dumb shit, just to test the table, to see if they're racist, and they're actually just not even listening to us. But me and this dealer go way back. Anyways, David, my friend, Dr. David Neymar, opens under the gun and gets action, and the flop comes 7-5-4, and I'm thinking, oh no, that's a bad flop for the under the gun open. No worries though, David had 6-3 suited, so he flopped straight, and he won a nice pot from young David. Who the fuck is young David? So David is mid-50s, handsome man, some gray hair, just sophisticated. And there's also a guy in his 40s that kind of looks like David, handsome, and just looks like him. So we'll call him Young David. And so I was worried about my friend David losing to Young David. Young David was like in the blinds or whatever and defended multi-way. But no, my friend David opened with 6-3 and flopped a straight under the gun on 7-5-4. So that made me happy. And now this dealer starts telling stories, just talking to me. I'm in the ninth seat. And he says, I remember when you made it dark, 50 dark, all night long, heads up. And he's just reminiscing. For these dealers, they see players come and go all the time. I think that's why many of them like me, is that it gives them a sense of, I don't know, the past. And he says, I remember you made it dark 50 all night and won all this guy's money. And that means we're playing 10 and a quarter, heads up. And because I'm doing other stuff, I prefer to just min-raise dark, heads up. I have several reasons for it. And he was just bringing that up from the past. And I'm thinking, wow, that was a different time. That's what I'm thinking. And he also says, and then I do remember that one time someone asked you how much you had, right? Someone asked how much you had, and you said, I have you covered, ... for life. So it turned out to not be true, because I thought, you know, when you're a pro for 10 years and you always are flush, you know, give or take a little hiccup here and there, you just think you're always going to be able to buy in deep in any poker game and you'll cover everyone, because that's what alphas do at the poker tables. They cover everyone, and I always did. But how was I to know that I was going to spiral down to rock bottom? I couldn't have known. But he's just bringing up old stories, and I'm writing them on my phone because that's what I do. Okay. And now we got a straddle pot, and there's a limper, and I go to $40 with ace-10 offsuit. And you know who calls behind me? The real Neymar. And why do I say the real Neymar? Well, there are Brazilians that play at Ocean's 11, and the first two that were regs were Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, I think. And then this guy came along, and I called him Neymar, and I said the real Neymar called behind. It's not the soccer player. It's the same Brazilian poker pro, but he dyed his hair blonde like Eminem in The Real Slim Shady. So I wrote the real Neymar calls behind, and Giep, who had limped, calls as well. So Giep limps. It's just the straddle's on. Maybe David straddled. Straddle's on, and Giep limps, and I go to 40, and the real Neymar calls behind. Poker pro from Brazil, and now his hair is dyed blonde. So instead of being called the Neymar now, he's the real Neymar. And Giep, who limped, also calls. And why is this guy's name Giep? Because it's the guy in every pot, Giep. And the guy's just in every single pot. So whatever. There's 120 plus the blinds out there. I got ace 10 offsuit. I'm the middle of Giep and the real Neymar. And the flop comes Jack 9-7 with two diamonds. And I don't have a diamond, but I do have a gut shot to a straight. And I have some big cards. And Giep checks. And I check. And the real Neymar bets 60. So he bets, you know, about half pot, a little bit less. And Giep calls. And I call here. I'm going to call one time. Maybe I'll hit an ace. Maybe I'll hit a straight. Maybe I'll pick up more equity. Who knows? The turn is a small diamond. And Giep shoves all in. So I got a fold, obviously. And it's an interesting hand to think about. What did this guy turn to go all in when the diamond got there? Typically at this level, he flopped something big and now is scared of the third diamond and is jamming. And so if you have a small flush here, you have to call. But I didn't have anything, luckily for me. And I go take a break. I don't know. Yeah, I did mention that I've been drinking all day at the golf meetup. So you can't, if you're a drinker, you can't just like, oh, I drank all day, I'm not going to drink tonight while I'm playing poker. Not me. I got to keep the train rolling. And so you slow down as the day goes on, but you got to keep it going. And I'm sunburnt also. And it was overcast on this day, but you can still get sunburnt. And, you know, I've not learned that lesson a million times in my life. And I shaved my face this morning. And so I have sensitive skin and I only shave once a week or 2 weeks or whatever because I'm a fucking poker pro. And when I do, the only thing that makes it feel better, and the patrons already know this, is sunscreen. And so ironically, I didn't put on enough sunscreen while I was golfing, but now at night I did because my face was feeling dry. And when I went to the podium to get a seat, I had, it was, you know, around 9:30 on this Sunday night. And I guess there was a piece of dried sunscreen on my face. And the floor man's like, "You got some on your face. Get that off." And I kept like, you know, you're like, "Did I get it?" And like, "No, you moved it." You're like, "Did I get it?" "No, now it's on the other side of your face. Come on, man, get that thing off. It's stressing me out." And then the board girl grabbed a napkin and like punched me in the face with the napkin and grabbed it. So the patrons already know that from the lead up, or no, the lead out. But yeah, so I just wanted you guys to know that too. So I went to take a break to run to my car, put on more sunscreen because my face is dry, and then, you know, go to the bar and get a beer. And when they were like stressing out, the floor man was like, "Dude, man, you're freaking me out. Get that thing off your face." I said, "Oh, no worries. I just put sunscreen on." And it was, you know, 9:30 at night. And so, you know, they're probably wondering what the fuck is wrong with this guy. And there are many things wrong with me and a couple things right with me. Anyways, I took a break after I had the ace 10 off suit and I didn't make shit. And Giup shoved all in on the small diamond. Okay. So I just wanted you guys to be on the same page as the patrons, if you're not a patron. All right. I come back from my break, from going to my car, reapplying sunscreen. Ironically, did not put enough on during the day because it was overcast and maybe I was sweating, so my face didn't feel that dry. But at night, it does. Whatever. And then I had a beer, came back, I posted, I get 10-5 off suit. I check my option. I used to be the guy that would always raise after he posted. Fuck that. And the real Neymar squeezed behind me and I folded. And then you know what I did? I reached around the dealer and I gave him a handy. No. I reached around the dealer and I gave a fist bump to the real Neymar, who was in the one seat. I was in the 9 seat. And that's kind of like a new pro graduation. What? Ritual? Ceremony? Something. So this guy was a new pro. I would play with him. And he didn't get it, right? He was just playing his hardest every hand, you know, going for every edge. And he's been around long enough that now he'll have some drinks at the table. He'll straddle. You don't even have to ask him. He plays fast. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And so he's graduated to a pro. From a new pro to a pro. And I think you have to run bad for a while. And it seems like he has. And so I just noticed this. And yeah, he just dyed his hair blonde. So I just reach around the dealer and I give him a fist pump. You know, I posted. I came back from the bar. I came back from my car, then the bar. And I posted 10-5 off suit. I checked. He raised. I folded. And I reached back, gave him a fist bump. Like, "All right, man, I accept you now. You're a, you know, I accept you. You're no longer a new pro." Okay, and I'm down $500, yeah, and I haven't, not much has happened yet, and I wrote lag, straddle life. It's true. If you're a lag and you get straddle on and you straddle a lot, you're going to be stuck 500 pretty quickly, and not much has happened, really, but that's just how it goes. And then I call a late open, so I'm the straddle, and someone opens late. And Ned calls, and Ned is on my direct right, and that's Nervous Energy Dude, and he made an appearance in this podcast, I think in season one, maybe in season two. He calls, and I call with 7-5 offsuit. I defend my straddle, right? And so someone opened late, Ned's in there. I might have 3-bet if Ned folded, but I'm not going to, you know, 7-5, I'm just going to defend. The flop comes 10-3-2. It's not that great for 7-5. Ned checks, I check, and the opener checks. Okay, maybe I can win this pot. The turn's a 6. Oh, now I have some equity. Ned checks, I bet small. The preflop opener folds, and now Ned calls. And as soon as he calls, I just know he has a 6. This fucker, Ned, has a 6 right now. What I'm going to need to do on the river is bet a lot on most cards to win because he is pretty sticky, And he does act very fast. He's nervous energy dude, right? And so I'm just thinking, okay, how do I get him off of six? Basically is what I'm thinking. And the river is another six. And now Ned leads super strong into me. And I fold. And I say, what'd you have, man? And he says, here's what Ned says. He says, overcard. I say, you had overcard? He says, overcards. It's just Ned shit right there. I kind of like him. I don't know. So then he wins another pot, Ned does on my direct right, and he spaz tips into me. So he's in the eight, I'm in the nine, he wins a pot and he tips, he's a generous tipper, so it's more than one chip. And so one chip probably went towards David, one probably hit the dealer in the mouth, and one hit me. So it's a little bit dangerous sitting next to Ned, but it's fine. And then the next hand, Ned limps and I announce enough, enough. And I 6X with ace 4 offsuit. And it gets all the way back to Ned. And he calls. So, whatever. The straddle was off this hand. He limped. I got to win a pot. Enough. And I go to 30 with ace 4 offsuit. Shit hand. Gets back to Ned. He calls. The flop comes 9-6 deuce. And he checks. And I decide that this piece of cheese that I have, ace 4 offsuit, is the nuts against Ned here. So instead of setting up a bluff, which I am doing anyways, I just bet 20. I just want to milk him. I want to go take Ned to value town with my ace 4 out suit. He folds. Okay. Let me take a sip of coffee if you don't mind. What, Cindy? Your lawyers? No. We'll talk about it after. David had a lightweight hoodie that had your face on it and said, you said you're okay with it. All right. Sound guy, will you talk to her? Okay. So what do we got here? We got pocket eights. And Ned on my right is the straddle. I told you, I think I like this guy. Well, now I like him for sure because he straddles. And I have pocket eights. And I wonder what to do with it first to act. I think you will, if you keep listening to this podcast and it keeps going on and I keep playing bigger, you're going to see a lot of limping from me in early position and middle position, even sometimes middle, but often in early. But if you have a game like this where the straddle's not on all the time yet, so a straddle pot's going to be bigger and it's not that sticky of a table, then I'm more inclined to open a hand in early position. But in a lot of games where you just open early position, you're never taking down the blinds. Not once. All you're doing is building a big pot out of position. And so I'm going to be limping a good amount in the future. And that doesn't, whatever. I think about doing it here and I decide, no, this table is like, I actually do have some fold equity. I could win the blind. That's why you raise, is you're making a play at the pot, right? And so I go to 35 first to act and it folds back to Ned. So great. That's great already. If he folds, that's fine. If he calls, that's good too. And he calls. All right. And Cindy, I will not need you for this flop. And don't worry about, we'll kick you down a piece of sales. Don't worry. But I will not need you to tell the people what I flopped here with my pocket eights. After Ned straddled, I opened a 35 first act and it folded back to him. And he called because the flop came 8 deuce deuce rainbow. That is a fucking monster. It's a boat. And Ned quickly leads into me. And he leads 40, right? I had opened at 35, folded on him, he called. We got 70 in there. The other two blinds can pay for the rake. So we got 70, and he quickly leads 40. And so what does this mean? It means he has some kind of small pair, probably, right? And so what to do? Is Ned going to call if I raise? I don't know Ned well enough. So what I'm going to do is even better. I'm going to fake raise and call, which people do with ace high all the time. But I got a boat. And so I fake raise and just call the 40. I like this. Okay. And the turn is a 4. So it's 8, deuce, deuce, 4. And there are two spades out there now. And Ned leads 50. Okay. And now I got to start getting money in the pot, right? And hopefully, by the grace of God, he had pocket 4s. And so I already set up that I have ace high, and now I could have I could have a wheel draw, I could have a flush draw. I raise to 150. I can't go too big right now. I go to 150. I fake raised and called the flop. Now I'm 3x in the turn, and Ned calls pretty quick. Good. And the river is a 5. So it's 8, deuce, deuce, rainbow, turn 4. Now there are two spades, and the river's a 5, and Ned leads 50 again. He won't learn his lesson, Ned. He led the flop, I fake raised and called. He led the turn, I just raised, 3x, and he called. Now he's leading the river again for 50, and so I decide I can't shove, but if Ned has a boat, if Ned, I thought he had a small pocket pair, and if he had, it was 4s or 5s, he has a boat now, and but I think he'll shove if I just raise to 5x, to 250, and I do that, and he quickly calls and says, I have a baby pair. And unfortunately for Ned, daddy's got a vessel, a boat. So that was a nice pot. I won almost $500 from Ned with pocket eights on an 8, deuce, deuce, 4, 5. And he had pocket threes. So that's pretty cool. Another hand is David, my friend, raises to 40. So the straddle's on. This is real Neymar probably straddled this one. And no, that's not true. Young David actually straddled this one. Real Neymar is the big blind. I'm the small blind. And there are two calls behind David's raise. So, and I have queen jack offsuit in the small blind. And I just fold because my name ain't Moose. And I think I would have won. The flop came queen 5-5 and it seemed like I would have won. But that doesn't matter. Okay. Now, I overlimp with pocket deuces and I call the big blind squeeze from young David. So when I met David, he was about this guy's age and looked like him. And that was 10, 15 years ago. And now David's David and this guy's young David. Okay. And this guy just had to make a big fold. You could tell. Might have been to the real Neymar. Might have been to somewhere else. And now he squeezes from the big blind. Very consistent with an ace. And I have pocket deuces. And I had overlimped. And now I call the big squeeze in position. Let it come ace and deuce, one time dealer. And or just let it not come a pair for him and let me bluff catch him at least on the flop. Well, it comes 8-6-3. He bets, I fold. And so that's fine. I was hoping for him to not flop a pair, or even better, for me to flop a set and for him to flop a pair. And the next note is Ned's dead, but he reloads. So he comes back to life. And I kind of liked, even though he's nervous energy and just spazzing around like, you know, someone walks behind him, he like turns his head back, what's that? And like, he bets, you know, so fast, he keeps leading into you, and like, he's led into me every pot we've played, and first time he turned a better hand, and he paid me off last time, and he tipped that one time, and it's fucking like a sawed-off shotgun, like fucking shit everywhere. And well, I think one went down the table by David, and one, you know, I think hit the dealer and gave him like a bloody lip, and one went into me. That's Ned, right? But I kind of just, anyone who's just themselves, I like. And anyone who plays fast, I like. And he straddled, then I really like. And now he reloads after dusting a few times. And now I love him. I do. And anyways, time for my best play. It's not that elaborate. But at this point, I'm drinking a Jameson and ginger. And I have my shades on. And I'm telling the people at the table about the cat that got saved by the American flag on 9/11 weekend at some football game. And they probably think I'm crazy, and maybe I am a little bit, but you know what? If I am, I've made peace with it. Anyways, I have 8, it's my straddle, 2-5-10 on the 10, and there's a bunch of limpers, and I have 8-7 offsuit, and I make it 100, and I take down the, you know, all the limps. And is it a great play to just 10x with 8-7? It's only great because I just knew. I knew I'm relaxed, I'm telling the story about the cat that fell at the stadium and they caught it with an American flag. It was fucking sick. And I just know, yeah, they're sticky and they know I'm laggy and all that, but just something about it, I knew it would get through if I made it 100 this time when I'm inclined to just knuckle the table. And I got Ned as the big blind. He's very sticky, but Ned just reloaded, so he's going to be the least sticky he's going to be after a fresh reload. That's Ned. And it's just my best play because I usually won't be squeezing here to 100, but I just knew I was going to pick up $50 for nothing. Okay. And now, The real Neymar didn't straddle her, but it wasn't his fault. Because if you're in the one seat, it's hard to see when it's your straddle. So I understand that. And so it's just me and Ned in the blinds. And it folds around to Ned in the small blind. And I say, chop. And Ned just quickly makes it $10. Min raise. Great. So this is good for the rake. And I'm happy to put in five more to play a hand with my friend Ned. And I whiffed and delayed folded. So that means I whiffed. He checked. No way am I ever betting here. And then the turn, he just bet, and I folded. Okay. And then now it gets around to Ned's straddle. And one thing I've been doing, I do a lot of in-the-moment negative EV shit that's good for the game. And one thing I do often in a good game is I just dark call first act. And so it's 2-5-10. Ned's the 10. And Dragon Man just puts the 10 out there, and the dealer's like, well, you're not, you know, dealer tries to push it back, and you have to be like, no, don't ever push my 10 back, I'm calling, dealer. And anyways, it's stupid, and it's good for the game, and also, what's my strength? It's playing post-flop. I just want to get in there, sure, it's good. Anyways, so I call dark, and then young David calls, and then regular David goes to 75, and it folds to me, and I have queen jack offsuit again, and I fold. So, playing a little tighter these days, and yeah, I don't know. The next note, I am not in this pot. There are four people in this pot for $260 pre-flop. It's David, Ned, another guy, and young David, I think. And there are four of them in for $260, and that's kind of big for this game that was minuscule when I sat down, but it's growing. It's growing like a young boy that you feed whole milk to all the time. You know what I mean. The game's getting better. It's getting juicier. Why? Drinking, talking, fucking straddling, getting other people straddled, David straddling, young David straddling. Anyways, there are four people in for $260 pre, and it looks like, wow, we got over $1,000 in the pre. And I say, is this a bomb pot? Obviously, I'm just joking, and it's maybe a bad joke. But in unison, the table's like, no. So this is a problem I run into is people don't know I'm just a fucking stupid idiot. And I'm not being serious almost ever. But it was just, you know, it's kind of a fuck my life moment. I thought someone would laugh. Is this a bomb pot? And they're like, no, it's not. Oh, whatever. David had pocket aces and he made top set. And so that's the good news. And he won a nice pot. The bad news is, once again, Ned's dead. Fuck. All right, so we'll have to see if Ned comes back to life again, if he finds another life in his pocket. Anyways, it's my straddle, this hand. I got ace-5 offsuit, and young David limps, okay? And the guy who just lost a big pot to regular David in that 260, 260, 260, 260 hand, he had queens, that hand against David's aces. And anyways, he raises to 30, and I defend 20 more with ace-5 offsuit, and young David limp calls. And the flop comes ace-jack-4. All right, rainbow. I got top pair, no kicker. I'll check. Young David checks. The guy who had queens the hand before checks. Okay, good. The turn's a 5. Ace-jack-4-5. Should I bet here? Nah. Go for a check raise. You've already, you know, you just squeezed to 100. That got through, right? But also, it means the next time you better have it. Anyways, check, and young David bets 25. Just a really weak bet. And the guy who had queens the hand before against regular David calls, and now I get to pop to 100. It's perfect, right? His small bet, and then the call makes it a perfect squeeze spot, but I actually got aces up. I go to 100, young David folds. The guy who had queens calls, the river's a 7. I bet 180. I don't think he's strong, and he calls, and he turns over queens again. So he paid me off pretty late there. He had queens back-to-back hands. He lost to David's top set of aces, and he lost to my aces up with ace-5 offsuit. And then I wrote, run good, then bad. Now need to attack YD. And that's young David. And why do I need to attack him? Because he opened under the gun to 5X, $25. And I called with sevens in position. And it came 8-6-4 rainbow. And he fired. And I didn't have a read on this. I just couldn't tell if he was strong or weak. And it was 8-6-4, and he fired. Anyways, I'm going to call. I got a pair, and not open-ended, but gut shot. And That turns a 10, and he fires again. And yeah, he's been losing some pots. He's young David. So 8-6-4. I call the 5x with sevens, and then I call on 8-6-4. And now the 10 gives me a double gutter. He fires again. I call, and the river's a deuce, and he baby bets. And I shrug, and I call. I gotta see it, young David. He has 8-5 suited. So a lot of times, when people don't really know if they're bluffing or value betting, the soul reader against them has a really hard time knowing if they're bluffing or value betting as well. And whatever, I was always going to call the flop and turn. And if he bet normal on the river, it would be, you know, I might have, I don't know what I was going to do, but it was just a weird hand. And if I had a read he was strong, I could fold the river. But when you don't know if you're strong or weak, how the fuck am I going to know? So that's why I need to attack him, because he just kind of owned me by playing, you know, 8-5 suited under the gun and just didn't really know if he was bluffing or value betting or what. So I guess he knew he was value betting. But now I am in the straddle and he opens and it folds back to me heads up, and we're pretty deep. And I 3-bet with King Jack of diamonds. And young David is Aussie or Brit or some shit. That's what I wrote. Young David is Aussie or Brit or some shit. And he folds to my 3-bet, and he's in position. And I wrote in all caps on my phone, "That's what I thought, mate." So I had to feel better about him owning me when I had 7s and 8-5. So 3-bet, if you fold in position, you're not alpha. In position, we never fold any hands when we're kind of deep. Because that's, you just don't. Anyways, I wrote, "Young David is playing sticky and lucky, and it's tilting me." And you know what? David used to play this way too when he was younger. Okay. Now, I try and ISO this guy with probably the best shirt I've ever seen in my life. So I am, if you didn't know, I'm the president or CEO of PokerX, whatever you want to call it. I started the company with straddle shirts, and it's blossomed, and it needs to blossom a lot more. But so I have a clothing company, but game recognized game. The straddle shirt is, both of them are classics, right? Well, this guy has a shirt that's not a PokerX shirt. It has an RV on it, and it says RV there yet. I fucking love it. I got to admit, I fucking love that shirt. It's, you get it? It has an RV, like a recreational vehicle, and it says RV there yet. It's just some like Asian dude not talking, but his shirt does all the talking for him. That's the sickest shirt I've ever seen in my life. Anyways, he limps. I have pocket sevens, and I try and isolate him. But you know who calls in the small blind? Young David. Of course he does. And RV there yet calls too. And I have sevens, and it comes 10-5 deuce. And they check to me. I bet 1/3 with sevens on 10-5 deuce, 2 spades. And what? They both call. Good for them. The turn's a king. Interesting card. They check to me, and now I bet 2/3. Kind of like young David with his 8-5 suited. I don't know if my hand is best or not. If I'm losing, it's only to a 10. So what I want to do is, if my hand is good, so what? It's very vulnerable at this juncture, right? On 10-5 deuce, king, when there's 2 spades out there, when you have sevens. If it's best, I'm fine protecting it. And if someone has a 10, and they can't, the 10 of spades is out there, so they can't have 10x of spades, which they're never folding. But if they have a 10, I want to put them in a tough spot. And the most likely person to have a 10 here would be fucking young David, calling the ISO from the small blind. You know, went to the Moose School of Poker. Just call from the small blind, make the best hand, win all the money, get all the girls, and so on. Okay, so what? RV there yet, limps. That's the best shirt ever. You get it? You got it. Okay. And I go to 40 with sevens, and young David, sticky young David, calls in the small blind, and so does RV there yet. 10-5 deuce, 2 spades, they check to me. I bet a third. Okay. I guess I could bet a little bit more here, but I bet a third, and they both call. And turns an offsuit king. It's a good card for me to bluff if I need to bluff. And they check to me, and I bet 2/3. I want to use that leverage of RV there yet to fold out young David's fucking 10 if he has one. And young David calls, and RV there yet folds. And the river pairs the board. And it's just the worst kind of card to barrel off on. And I checked back and young David had a 10. He had like queen 10 offsuit or something. Of course he did. Next note is I steal though. And then I box versus Dunder. You haven't heard that much about Dunder. One of the two patrons remaining when we started playing at 9:30. Long day, right? NFL in the morning. We got to fire our bets against each other, all neutral EV. Then we got to play a golf match against each other. Then we got to go to Oceans and wait for David to get there. And we're going to have some food, some drink. There's a night game. And then at 9:30, when it's time to play, you know, most people are smart and they're going home. And three of us are left. David, Dunder, and myself. And David got sat at my table when we got a seat, and Dunder was at the other table, and he finally got moved to our table, right? And he opens, and I call with pocket eights three ways, and it comes king, four, three with two spades, and he bets kind of strong, and I call because a strong bet on king, four, three, two spades is so often a draw, and I call, and the turn's a red eight, and now he overbets to 300. I just call, and I guess I could have. I don't know. I just called. And then the river is a red seven and he checks. And now I bet 300. And he says, what two pair do you have? And he calls. So sometimes when someone says, what two pair do you have? That's because they have top pair and they're worried you made two pair. But I kind of felt like maybe he had ace high. That's how a good thinking player would play a draw, is to over. People don't overbet top pair a ton. It's not bad to. I'm just saying, I don't know. Either way, I turned a set. And that's nice. And then it's after last call now. So at midnight, you got to start making trips to the bar. As you heard, I did when I went and reapplied some sunscreen to my dry face and had a beer before. Well, it's after last call right now. So I'm going to play Tad. And so you know what tag is, tight aggressive and lag is loose aggressive and tip is tight. Passive. I'm gonna play Tad, tight and drunk. It's Tad. That's good. And I get ace king, and there's some new players in the game, and one of them is there are a couple of former props that play at these hours, and one of them used to be a fisherman, and the other one, I don't know what he used to do, but the former fisherman plays a little more solid than the other guy does. The other guy plays fine, wins money, I'm sure, but he plays a little more solid for full ring for sure. And I 3-bet him pretty big because I'm out of position. He calls. And I just think he has ace-king. I don't know because I just got back from the bar. I'm locked. I'm going to play Tad. And that's tight and drunk. And so I think he has ace-queen when I have ace-king. And it comes queen-XX. I check. He checks. Turns an X. I check. He checks again. I have the nut flush draw here. And then the river is an X. I check again. And he bets 120 into 320. Obviously, I don't beat any pairs, but I do beat other ace highs, and I call. And he has ace queen, just like I knew he did. So it's kind of bad that if you know someone has you beat, you call. But he took a very – he delayed bet his top. And so it's not that bad. Sometimes you just got to see. Are my reads locked? Oh, yeah, they're locked. Here's $120. Okay. And then queen jack of diamonds, multi-way. That's right. And thank you. And we're good. We don't need lawyers involved. You're good now? Well, I'll take care of you. Okay. So the next hand of note is 6-4 offsuit, five ways. And I got this one. Flopped nothing. And it was a good bluff spot in theory. It just, whatever the flop came, it seemed like, you know, I was the guy that had that shit. You know, that stuff that you know. That poker strat shit. And I didn't. I had 6-4 offsuit, but maybe it was like, you know, maybe it was like 9-10 queen or something. And I should have had like a jack in my hand, whatever. You know what I mean? But it was a good bluff spot, but I chose to not bluff because I recognized a tell. And I don't mind giving away tells that are strength because the people that do them are usually grinders, and let's not pay them off. So if you see a pro or a grinder, do the hard finger check. The one finger into the felt hard. Not as hard as Ned would, but hard. And yeah, Ned's dead. He, RIP Ned. He was, you know, beloved. Anyways, if you see a pro or just anyone trying to win, do the fucking hard one finger checking of the felt. Be very careful. And so I had a good bluff spot. I don't remember what it was. I missed a flop. I had a good bluff spot. I was in position like I always am because I'm Tad. Well, that's not really Titan drunk 6-4 offsuit, but you know, whatever. Anyways, I recognized the hard finger check against like with the only other person that could have whatever the board was. And I just, maybe it was like deuce, deuce or deuce 7-7 or something. That would make more sense where I would be the guy with the seven, but I recognized the only other guy that would have like a seven in the spot did the hard finger check into the felt, which, you know, and that means don't bet. And I didn't, and that person had it. So save some money there. It's time for my worst play. So, you know, I was a little overserved. I didn't drink that much at golf because I was driving, but I did drink all day, just light beers, ultras, those don't even count. And then waiting for David, had a few pops while some dinner, and then with David had some at the bar, and then have been drinking steadily in the poker game. It's good for the game, and it's good for my blood pressure. Is alcohol good for blood pressure? It seems like it might be. Relaxes you? I don't know. But, you know, it's late now, and this young kid who I Venmo'd with the other day, this is a cool kid. He's in my game, and he's running into it. He's at the other end of the table. So he's running into it hand after hand, and he opens the button, and it's a 2-5-10, and it might even be the 20, to be honest, because we might have changed it to officially 2-5-10, and I put on the 20. Anyways, he opens the button. I have Jack 3 suited, and he's been running bad, and I decided to 3-bet here, which is not the end of the world. He doesn't have that many chips left. Maybe he Venmo'd out too much cash. I don't know. But he opens the button. He's been running. So I decided to 3-bet. That's not the end of the world, right? Because you're kind of like, he's going to look at his stack and fold all his bad hands. He min 4-bets. That means he clicks it back. And I called with the Jack 3. I think it was clubs. And that's just really bad. You just got to fold here. Even though it's it's so strong, you're not up against Ace King. Ace King shoving, right? So I called. That's my worst play. And I flopped a pair, and he only had a pot size bet behind. And I think he might have even like checked back the flop. And then I think I bet tiny on the turn and shoved the river, and he just snap called it off with ace, pocket aces. So he played it good, but I played it horrible, and it tilted me. I don't like playing hands poorly. And then I do something that I do like doing, and I steal. And then I 3-bet the cool Mexican dude. If you heard, I think that was just the session before, so the patrons know who that is. Well, he's not being cool on this night. He's kind of being a punk. Just kind of some more nervous energy type stuff. And I 3-bet him with King 8 because he's deep. I'm deep. Let's go, man. Let's see who wants it more. This is deep stack poker. It comes 4-4-8. Beautiful. I know he has ace high. I just made a pair. I have king eight suited. It's 4-4-8. And so he checks, and I bet. I'm going to bet solid here. He's going to call with ace high one time. And the turn is a motherfucking ace. And he checks, and I check back. And the river's nothing. He checks. I check back, and he had ace queen. So reads are good. And then I write, sober up and get the fuck out. So that's also on Thursday of this week. I played, and then the game ended up as four-handed game, and three of us were just playing to sober up. And the fourth was a pro that was sober. That's pretty good. Anyways, I wrote, Grasshopper gave the full, the full acting job with his aces, and it was all there for me. I just decided that, I don't know, I just fell for it. And I wrote, I got to remember I'm in preschool still. So I was tilting a little bit that I paid him off. And he played it well. I played it horrible. He's a cool kid. I call him Grasshopper. I was a little irritable this night. Probably should have been in bed at this point. And then there's an awesome guy on my left. And it's just he's a reason in that place. A reason games go all night. And he also told me he liked Dallas the next night. So I fired the Eagles and Dallas destroyed him. That sucked. But anyways, he is the 10, and I'm the 5, and it folds around to me, and I have 9, 8 offsuit. And I go to 60, I have 6X from the middle blind with 9, 8 offsuit, and he calls. And he's not hard to play against, and it comes 9, 4, 3, and I bet 60 again. Always do the same bet. It's just the best. And he calls. The turn's a deuce. Not my favorite card. 9-4-3, turn deuce, and now I go to 160. He's not going to bet anything if I check to him. He's not going to bluff. I go 160. I got to protect my hand here because he has lots. He has lots of outs now, and he calls, and the river's a 6, and I check, and so it was 9-4-3. I squeezed with 9-8, and he called. In position. Came 9-4-3. I bet half pot he called. The turn was a deuce. I knew the board was getting wet, and I made it 160 into what? 240. He called. River's a 6. I checked. He bet. I fucking folded my cards super fast. He showed me pocket fives. So he was in really bad shape on the flop, and he picked up open-ended on the turn, but those are still hard to hit. He hit it, whatever. The worst part about it is people were asking who they liked in the Monday night football game the next night. And he said, I like Dallas. And when you hear someone say they like a team at the poker table, generally you can just go bet the other team. That's what I did. I fired Philly. And how was I supposed to know this guy was sharp? Dallas destroyed them. And so after that hand, I wrote, the moment I'm sober enough to drive, I'm leaving these farm animals. I was just, a little tilty. And I was being a little irritable. And I knew it. And then I cold four bet Grasshopper. Because now he got a double. He's not super deep now, but he has more chips, and he's young. He's going to be three betting light. I called four bet with King Jack suited, and he folded, and I said, what, no aces this time, Grasshopper? Just some grizzled vet shit to say. And then, God, I'm ashamed to say it. I overset someone, and I won jack shit. I overset the awesome guy on my left, and I have not overset someone in a long time. What was it, last season or season 2, where I overset someone twice in like a week and I lost both. That was fun. Well, I overset. I opened kings on the button and this guy called, the awesome dude. The reason called in the small blind, and it came king 9-7, and just us two. And I checked back. I could have bet really small, but I just checked back, and the turn is an 8. King 9-7, 8, and it's rainbow, and he bets. And no, I'm sorry. He checks. And now I bet, obviously. And he raises, like, pretty big. And I call. And there's two. The flop was rainbow. King 9-7, rainbow. And I check back, heads up, top set. Sneaky guy, right? And the turn is an 8. Now there are two clubs. And now he checks again. And now I got a bet, right? Top set. So I bet, not huge. And he raises me. And I know he's strong. He's not bluffing. And so on king 9-7-8, he went for the check raise. Okay, so I think I just call here and reevaluate in position. The river is the queen completing the flush, and now he checks. And so at least I didn't check. I bet the river, and he snap called me, and he had pocket sevens. So, he could have had a straight on the turn and whatever. If the turn was like a 4 and he check raised, I would at least be clicking it back. But against a straight, that would be the worst, to check the flop, let the guy hit the gut shot and get all the money in. I don't know. I played for 6 hours and I won 2 lives overall. So let's cash out. Let's leave these farm animals. And I say that with love. And then let's walk to my car in the parking lot, if you guys don't mind. And we can all get in it. It's a trusty old IS250 Lexus. And Cindy will steer while I read the STP scores. And then she's going to drop me off first, if you guys don't mind, because I really need to sleep. And then she will drop all of you off at your respective homes. And hopefully that's cool. So walk with me over the cage. All right. Yep. Yeah. Nice night. Here's a tip. Thank you. Okay. Now follow me to my car. It's a little sketchy in this parking lot, but I'm glad I got all of you with me. All right. Hop on in. Sorry. Not sorry about the mess. It's just a story. And yep, there's a sunscreen I kept applying. All right, is everyone in? Okay, let's get out of here. All right. Cindy, grab the wheel. I'm gonna read them the scores off my giant phone on NevadaGamingCommission.com under STP. Okay. First line says hours 398 of 380. Well, that makes sense because we had 386 hours after week 37, and I played 12 more in week 38, six in the session you just heard about. I went in on fumes, buzzed with some sunscreen on my face. And six in the first session I played this week, three nights prior, as mentioned, also at Ocean's 11. And if you want to hear that session review, the bonus session, that's what the first one of every week, I play two a week. The first one's called the bonus session. If you want to hear that, like always, the only way to do it is to become a patron. Just go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and you sign up for $4.22 a month. And if anyone really wants the content and can provide me proof they can't afford the $4.22, I will Venmo you the $4.22 every month. But yeah, anyways, 1 week of every month, it's all going to be public because I go to the Hustler 1 week a month. And I commentate on Hustler Casino Live. And I play my two sessions at their amazing card room. The LA card rooms are trying to fucking gouge all the players. But there's one card room up there that is committed to building their business the right way. And that's the Hustler Casino under Sean Yaple. I've been talking about that. And so if you're sick of whatever casino you've been going to, they don't give you a player, go there. And if you know you got suggestions, You can message him on Twitter. He's very receptive. Anyways, the week I'm up there, all four of those drops will be public. The other weeks, no, some of that stuff's behind the paywall that you only get. When you sign up on patreon.com/DGAFpokerplayer, you get a custom RSS feed. You just click a button. There's instructions. You click a button, click another button, and you get all the content, right? You get all the old seasons of sessions, including interviews with people you want to hear about, like a five-part interview series with Garrett Adelstein, a really cool two-part interview with Matt Berkey, and so on, right? And you also get every drop of the current year. Anyways, it's not hard. And in some weeks, like this week, all the first three were private, so only the patrons heard the first three drops. And anyways, just, you know, do that if you want. And then it also gets you into DGAF community and a lot of cool stuff. You know, I complain about some of the stuff I have to deal with because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing building community. But I follow my heart and it ruffles some feathers sometimes. And I'm probably too busy and too tired all the time to deal with a lot of stuff that I deal with. But that's just a small part of it, the annoyance part. The most of it is beautiful. Fucking beautiful, like Dunder coming down and setting up this golf meetup, which was so fun, and the interactions are mostly beautiful. Anyways, you're $4.22 a month, which if you cannot afford and you prove to me you can't, I will Venmo you fucking $4.22 a month. I'm not kidding. Yeah, it gets you in there too. You just gotta go to dgafcommunity.com, create a screen name and password, and if you are active on Patreon, it'll let you in. It's very tech savvy that way. Okay. All right, Cindy, you're doing a great job steering, and don't worry, PokerRag's gonna kick you down some money. Okay. The second line under STP says PokerRag's 847 of 699. So we are beating this, but it looks like a very slow week. Let's hear who scored points for us in week 38, who the MVP was, and who got employee of the week. So the first order came from someone in Japan and they got us 1 point. And if a name is in English and I can't pronounce it, I'll still try. I don't have any shame in my game, but it's in a different language, which I don't know even where to begin. And it might come off as insulting. Well, I mean, there's just nowhere to begin. It's in Japanese. And I just don't know how to sound out the symbols. It looks cool, but I don't know. Whoever you are, your name looks way cooler than my name. And I appreciate your order from PokerRags. And then Sean in Littleton, Colorado got 2 points. Thank you, Sean. That's only 1 point away from qualifying for MVP. Appreciate your order. Susan in Lancaster, California, 2 points. Thank you very much, Susan. Again, only 1 point away. And Lancaster is where all those dudes who have all the heart on Hustler Casino Live that play the ante game, they all live out in that Lancaster area. And I got a boy out there, and he plays with them. And anyways, do you guys mind chanting? You know, in the back seat and for the MVP. Thanks. your week 38 most valuable purchaser at Poker Rags is no one. Wow. No one qualified. No one scored 3 points. So we only got 5 points this week. That's a little disturbing. Usually when we're so low, no one gets Employee of the Week, but that's not the case here because the Nevada Gaming Commission recognized Jody Savage, Employee of the Week at Poker Rags, and it says Matt Kiefer ad. So if you haven't seen, so Matt Kiefer is a special talent in the vlogging content world. If you haven't checked him out, I think his Twitter is at Two Little Mice. The number two little mice. I think that's correct. Maybe you can just search Matt Kiefer. I don't know how to do all that social media wizardry. But he's special talent. His videos are fantastic. He's got a really great sense of humor. And his production is incredible. Well, Jody reached out to him and had him do an ad for us at Poker Rags. And he did a straddle ad. And if you haven't seen it, maybe I'll link it if I can figure out how, but no, I probably won't because I can't be able to figure out how and I'll forget, but check it out. Anyways, Jody reached out to him and worked with him and we got this amazing advertisement is the proper way to say that. But we got an amazing one for Poker Rags done by Matt Kiefer and Jody made it happen. So even though we only scored 5 points this week, which is frankly dog shit, shout out to Jody for making that happen. Thank you to the three customers who put points on the Poker Rags line in week 38. And if you listening would like to put points on this line, thus literally becoming part of the story by helping to keep the podcast going while sprucing up your wardrobe with the most comfortable and cool looking clothes on the planet, all you got to do in your browser, on your smartphone, on your laptop, your iPad, whatever the fuck you have, is head over to pokerags.us and you just start clicking, just add to cart until your hands start cramping up. And then you know what? Keep fucking clicking add to cart until you get arthritis. And then just ice your hands and take ibuprofen every day for the rest of your life. But seriously, that's the stuff MVPs are made of. Okay. What, Cindy? Oh, yeah. And check out, you know, all of us at Team Poker Rags, there are several of us, and there should be more if Edonk would, you know, he's got a new project, Fade the Mahoney, so he doesn't give a shit about Poker Rags anymore. But he's an owner, and he's in charge of Team Poker Rags, and I think there are six of us. Should be more, but it's fine. He's, you know, he's got his own thing going on. Anyways, we all have our own pages, and I got my own page. And Cindy says she wants you guys to order the stuff with her face on it. It's the Nothing Collection. Okay. Where are we at? Third score under STP says results 84 of 78. So we're beating this line. And we're beating the first two lines as well, right? And 84 of 78 means you get 3 points for every... I get 3 points for every winning session. And I lose 3 points for every losing session. And I want to win 2 out of 3. That was the goal to start the year, because if my podcast, obviously it costs me poker playing, right? It costs me time and energy. I pour all my heart and soul into this podcast. I do. I mean, I pour stuff into Poker Rags in the community as well, and definitely into my kids, but I just pour so much into this podcast that I felt like, you know, maybe it's really affecting my poker playing. And it does, but I said if I can win 2 out of 3 sessions, I'm okay with it. I'll keep doing it, right? And because it means a lot to me too. And anyways, so we're at 52 wins and 24 losses on the year. So we're slightly ahead of pace, and that's good because who knows when that doom switch might come. Okay. The four score under STP says Patrons, and the goal here is 380. And if you recall last week, we were ahead of this goal for the first time since the beginning of the year. The goal is 380, and it says Patrons, 352. Wow. So let's see what happened. So Debazri, a name I don't know how to pronounce, Debazri, signed up. That's 4 points. Thank you, Debazri. William signed up. It's a nice name. I like that name. 4 points. Thank you, William. Uno Mas gave me a raise. Uno Mas was already at 844, a slacker. That means have access to Slack and all the cool stuff on there. Went to 27 a month. So now Uno Mas can play poker, rake free, and other stuff. And I appreciate it. Uno Mas. And then Monkey Maps FFG signed up. So that's 4 points. So we got 4 for Debesri, 4 for William. Uno Mas gave me a raise. We don't get points for that, but I appreciate it. And then Monkey Maps FFG, 4. So what happened here? Oh, you know what happened? 10 people who had signed up and I got we got points for. Well, they got their RSS feed, listened to what they wanted to listen to, and then quit before even getting one payment through. They found a loophole, which we're gonna be closing, but they found a loophole to knit up some of my content behind a paywall. So you kind of respect their what? I don't know. I don't really respect any of it, but they found a loophole. So 10 people signed up and I said, hey, shout out to fucking Jack Johnson, right? And then Jack Johnson listened to whatever he wanted to listen to, probably the G-Man series. A lot of people ask about that. And then unsigned up before the first time his payment was supposed to go through. And I don't get notifications on that. And the Nevada Gaming Commission, that was an oversight by the board that handles this. You know, they have a whole panel of people that handles this scoreboard. So they did figure it out. And 10 people did that. They did the old knit and run. Oh, I'll sign up. I'll get the free the paid content. And then, oh, I just want to hear that part. Fuck you. I don't even want to give you $4.20 a month. So I was going to say I respect something about that. I don't respect anything about it. Because, again, if you can't afford to do it, you reach out to me. And I'll Venmo you $4.22 a month. But I think anyone listening can afford it. I think they can. Anyways, so we got minus 28 points. And that's just the Nevada Gaming Commission looking, auditing the numbers. And so we're back behind pace, but it was a fake sweat a little bit, us being ahead of pace. Because 10 people weren't real signups. They were fake signups. All right. The fifth and final score under STP. Here on my giant phone, Cindy, you're driving great. We're on Talladega East, as I call it. It's a 78 East. We're going to drop me off first, and then she'll drop all of you off. The fifth score under STP. It's the score. It's the final one. It's a consolidation of the four scores told you about. It's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we score 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, that's the cutoff. That's when this year ends. Sessions lives on in the year 2022 in a new form. You'll hear about that. Anyways, this one says 1681 of 1537. So we're still ahead of pace, but we're now only a little bit ahead of pace, like a little more than 100 points. And if we don't hit 2022, RIP sessions, right? And we're only 76% of the way through our journey. So if you like sweats, we got to sweat again. And that's just the story. I'm not, it's just what it is. That's what I do, is I try and just tell it what it is. Anyways, before we say our goodbyes and before Cindy drops me off at my granny flat and then takes all of you home, I want to thank everyone who has put points on the STP scoreboard thus far in this make or break season 4 sessions. And a very special thanks, of course, to all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And the ones that, that actually pay. Okay, and I'll see all of you patrons on Monday. And the rest of you, I think, on Thursday for week 39 of season 4 of sessions titled It's Just the Story. And whether you're a patron or not, whether you typically listen to sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Friday or Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Okay, Cindy, drop me off here at the granny flat, and then you don't mind driving all these people home, do you? Okay, I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.